Hello, friends. Welcome to the show. That's my tribute to Joe Rogan, who just my hero, just signed a $100 million deal to go to Spotify. Good for Joe Rogan. We'll talk about that today with Turtle Boy. Also, now we know why they call him Karens. Karen Polito, Lieutenant Governor of Massachusetts, had a big Memorial Day bash while telling everyone else they have to stay locked away and masked up. You got all the details on the big bash at the Politos over the weekend. Plus, Tom Brady embarrasses himself on the golf course, which was kind of a surprise. And Donald Trump embarrasses himself on Twitter, which wasn't really a surprise at all. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is the Callahan Podcast, presented as usual by our friends at DCU. Do you love your car but hate your car payment? No problem. Refinance your car today with DCU, and they can help lower your monthly payment, your interest rate, or both. Applying is easy, and their loan experts will help you find the loan term and the payment that fits into your budget. Get out of that high rate loan and get the interest rate and payment you deserve from DCU. Learn more and apply today at dcu.org/refinance. Insured by NCUA. Membership required. Okay, Colin, let's do this.
This is the Jerry Callahan Podcast.
We are live. You know, you guys know me. You know, I don't like to brag about my correct predictions when I nail a prediction. Like when I said Brady was going to go to Tampa Bay in January, but I said something 2 months ago. In fact, two things. Last week, I said it took balls for Tom Brady to play in that golf tournament. It took a lot of grief for that because it's golf, but it did because Brady embarrassed himself for the first time ever. In a sporting event, a live sporting event on a Sunday afternoon, Brady embarrassed himself. But we'll get to that. You know, I know it killed Dave to watch that. I know it hurt.
You had a stupid take last week. You had stupid takes while watching it over the weekend. But
what are you talking about? I nailed it. He embarrassed himself. That was a risk he took.
How do you embarrass yourself in a charity golf tournament? Just in any form, how do you embarrass yourself?
I would say, how many viewers did it have? Huge numbers, I'm sure. But millions and millions of people were reveling in his misery. That was the possibility that he was facing. And it got worse. I know he had one great shot, and that saved the day. And I know they kind of made it closer. No, I want to get to that. First, well, as Turtle Boy's sitting there, I want to say, I said this 2 months ago, Turtle Boy. 2 months ago, I said, this story is right up your alley. You are going to thrive. Certain people in the middle of this pandemic, certain industries, God knows, you know, the Zooms and StreamYards and these Skypes have thrived. We know liquor stores, Walmart, Amazon's done great. Turtle Boy, this whole thing is just one fat fastball down the middle for
it's
you.
It's the COVID industrial complex, Jerry.
Yes, the COVID industrial complex. And you can bitch about, you know, the reaction all you want. But I knew that these people, these Karens and these, what's the woman Cooper that with the dog?
These Cooper. People,
I knew they would emerge, and I knew you would be the best at exposing them. And I mean, a day doesn't go by where Turtle Boy doesn't out some fraud, some hypocrite. And today or yesterday was Karen Polito's day. If you don't know who Karen Polito is, she's the lieutenant governor. She's a rhino. She's a fraud who is forcing or demanding everybody, you know, lock themselves away with their masks on and sit in silence until until they find a cure, a vaccine. She's one of these complete overreactors, one of the captains of Team Apocalypse. And one of Turtle Boy's people caught her having a little Memorial Day cookout or party, we think, correct?
Yeah, caught her. That's what people are now debating. Well, you didn't see her. You didn't have a picture of her there. You didn't blah, blah, blah.
What's her burner account on Facebook? Is it Kathy Hill?
I don't know.
Kathy Hill on Facebook.
Who has just been relentless. Like, it's got to be her. I can't. If not, it's a relative or somebody who's just infatuated with this woman. But regardless, so basically her street is like a little cul-de-sac. It's basically a driveway with three houses at the end. It's a compound. They're all owned by Politos. It's hers, her father's, and her brother's, right? They all own the island together. So it's all big, one happy family, right? If it doesn't matter what house they were at, it was the Polito compound, and there was one witness saw 10 kids out at one time playing basketball outside.
Whoa. 10 kids playing basketball.
Playing basketball. I know. Living
there. Nobody called the cops?
Nobody called the cops. I think people might be afraid to call the cops. I mean, what are the cops going to do to Karen Polito? She's the lieutenant governor.
It's a good question, because this was, 2 days after the governor, another rhino fraud, Charlie Baker, was on the verge of tears, pleading with people to wear their masks and, you know, demanding they do it for their grandparents or do it for those people who fought and died in foreign war, you know, in wars all over the globe. So we have the right to wear a mask.
Yeah. Goodness gracious. I couldn't believe that speech. Are we going to play that later on?
Can we hear from Charlie, Dave? Let's listen to Charlie Baker.
Families, those moms and dads, those brothers and sisters, those sons and daughters of those who lost their lives fighting for your freedom to put on that mask and just do it for them. Socially distant for them. Wash your hands for them. Jesus. Because if they were here, they would be doing the same thing. Thank you.
Oh, God. He's still talking about washing hands? Haven't we gotten past
that? Does he understand the concept of what our veterans fought for? Right. First of all, the holiday is supposed to memorialize the dead, people who, not the veterans that are still alive, the people who fought and died for the country. What do you think these people would think, you know, walking up Mount Suribachi and putting that flag up there? And now all of a sudden we got people here hiding from a virus. They went into enemy fire, Jerry. They literally sacrificed their lives by going into hostile territory, and we're sitting at home hiding from a virus. And he thinks that this is what they would have wanted us to do.
I think I've declared this before. I'll just say it again. Massachusetts will be last. We will be last. We will be the last. I mean, it'll be like, you know, Thanksgiving. Charlie will be doing press conferences with his mask on, telling you to wash your hands. The whole country will open, including New York and New Jersey and Connecticut. And Massachusetts will be last because we have perhaps the most fanatical liberal blue state governor and lieutenant governor. And I get the sense that he's never going to give an inch. I was communicating with someone close to Charlie or on the inside over the weekend. And I'm, you know, as usual, saying, this is crazy. I mean, we'll get to the driving range that they busted. You know, this is nuts. People have to be allowed to open up. It's well past time. They're doing it everywhere. Charlie's not giving an inch. He will not. He is a fanatic, a tyrant, and he is reveling in this power. And you know what else I was told, Turtle Boy? He's not going to run again. He's not going to run again. I mean, think of it. Think of this. I mean, there's going to be a Democrat, right? He's the problem he has is he still has the R next to his name. He shouldn't, but he does. So he's not going to have any support from Republicans because this is clearly a left-right issue. You know, he's lost the faith of every Republican out there. There's nobody who supports him. And I know it's a Democrat state, but they're all going to support the Democrat, whoever it is who runs against him. The Democrats aren't going to support Charlie. He's pandering to people who aren't going to support him anyway, which is good. I hope he loses. I hope he never wins.
He can't run, Jerry.
Political office again.
This is his second term. Can he run a third time? I've never heard of that.
Oh, it's a good question. Is he? Oh, that's true. What am I saying?
Yeah. I mean, I would assume Polito would be next, but good luck now.
Okay. She can't win either. Check that. You know, she can't win either. But he can't win in another office either. He can't, you know, win. He can't run for Congress. He can't run for Senate.
I've grown up in Massachusetts. Every governor has been a Republican except for Deval Patrick. Republican, of course. But literally five of the last six governors in the state have been Republicans. So,
cool. But they're not really. I mean, you count William Weld as a Republican. They're not really.
Or not really.
Yeah, you know, my mistake. But he'll never win another office again. He's enjoying this. It's sad. If you haven't paid attention, like really closely, another fine blog from Turtle Boy. This is amazing. There's a driving range in East Longmeadow. That's out in the western part of the state, and the guy took every measure he had to take, like most businesses, and opened up. and they shut him down and cited him and fined him. How do you find somebody on the spot, by the way? How does that work, Turtle Boy?
Literally, take a, is she like a meter maid? How does that work? I don't,
I don't know. But they shut down. What was it called? It's called Fenway Golf. I mean, it's insane. So the Fenway Golf guy says, can I make a living here? You know, I need this weekend. It's more than a weekend. Walmart's open. You know, all the liquor stores are open. The pot dispensaries, retail stores with their curbside. I don't know exactly how that works, but curbside service. But you can't hit a bucket of golf balls by yourself. I mean, by definition, you're not endangering anybody else.
If you don't social distance in a driving range, you're going to get hit in the face with a 9-iron. So it'll police itself, I'm pretty sure. Social distance. Right.
And I mean, it is nuts when you think of all the rules. I tweeted out there was a list of crazy restrictions that are still in place in New York. I think you might have seen that politician. She was on Long Island saying these are the rules. You can play tennis, but you have to use your own balls. And if you
start laughing.
If the other person's balls come over your side of the court, you're allowed to kick them, but you're not allowed to touch them. So you can, I mean, this is an actual public official, an elected official saying you can kick the other person's balls, but you can't touch their balls. I mean, there's some bureaucrat in whatever office in New York coming up with this, writing this down, sending this out, saying, here's the rule. Here's what you can do. If you're playing tennis, it is. And I knew. And if you don't follow TB Daily News, I knew that you just eat these things up because it's just madness. We are living in an insane time.
Yes, this is going to go down in history as one of the dark periods, one of the craziest periods. And I don't know, Jerry, I feel like alone in this world. I don't know about you. I get together with family. Everybody's against me. Like I'm the crazy one. I don't know if you get that experience at all.
I get a lot of that. I make a lot of people saying, I mean, it just amazed me over the weekend seeing people out jogging, biking, golfing. You know, I didn't see anyone golf with a mask, but I see joggers and bikers or people alone walking their dog, nobody around them, and they got a mask on, or people alone in their car. Can you explain that one to me? You're alone.
I can't. But I'll tell you one thing. Maybe it's different by you because you're in Boston. You're in, you know, the real. You're in the heart of it, right? So out here in central Massachusetts, you know, I go to the store down the street. Nobody's got a mask on, Jerry. Nobody does it. I go, you know, you go for a walk at this rail trail. Nobody's got a mask on. Nobody does it around here.
Anymore. Oh, really? No, in Boston, you can't. I mean, you can't go in a store without. You can't go in grocery store, CVS.
That's the only time you ever put one on is when you go into this grocery store because you have to. You have no choice. What, you know, what else are you gonna do? But you know, I just do a thing where I take it. And I, as soon as I get in there, I literally pull it down. You can see my lips. I don't care. There's nobody to police you. You just have to have it on. There's no, like, what are they going to do? Kick you out? Like, nobody's going to do anything. Unless you're in Staten Island.
What are you talking about? You saw that crowd. And I don't know if you have that one, Dave, but the crowd in Staten Island that literally chased a person out of the grocery store.
A woman
screaming at her because she didn't have a mask, which I don't quite get. Like, what if she's already had the virus? There's a lot of people who have had it. What if she's immune? What if she has the antibodies? If you think she is going to save you, you have your mask on, right?
Yeah, you should be safe, right?
You should be okay. You're not going to kiss her or anything. You're probably not going to go near her. But still, it was like this. It was using the Charlie Baker logic. This is what America's all about. Put your mask on for the veterans.
Oh my God. That's
and you were watching this live and you said Baker almost cried. Cause you know, that's his thing.
I'm on the verge of crying. I thought
he usually cries about make pretend people that, you know,
this is like a real one. Like, I'm so frustrated with my job. Why won't you guys just wear the masks? Why won't you do it? I know there's a cookout this weekend, but Jesus Christ, guys, put the mask on.
But they're not. And when, I mean, they are in Boston, but around the country, I know that video from the Ozarks went viral, that big pool, which just looks awful, by the way. It looks like.
You said there are a lot of people peeing in there is what worries you the most.
Yeah, don't you think? Every guy, a girl too, they're slugging the beer, chugging down beers. You think they're all going to the men's room to relieve themselves?
What a culture clash we have in this country, Jerry, from state to state. That's normal for them right now to just you can just go to a freaking pool and drink and hang out with friends and eat at a restaurant. We don't even have anything resembling that up here. We're it's in phase one, but
I was sitting back listening to some other people have this conversation and thinking how insane it is. They're talking about gyms, you know, gyms and restaurants. What phase? Would it be phase two or three? Do you think phase two will be July 1st or will it be July 15th? What about phase three? When will phase four? And I'm thinking, we are sheep sitting there going, you know, if we just cross your fingers and hope when it gets to phase three, the governor lets us go to the gym and you know, work out. I don't, please, governor, please, could you let us go to the, please, can we go to a restaurant and sit down and eat a burger, Charlie? Would that be okay? Please. In other parts of the country.
We need more of the phase three Jerry voice.
Oh, it's, and I'm thinking you're begging Charlie Baker to include us in phase three. I asked a guy I know who owns a restaurant. I said, why don't you just open up? Just open up. And maybe a bunch of restaurants will do it. That's happened in other, happened with the golf courses. And he said, are you kidding? All these state regulations, says health department, fire department, we have all these state regulators. They would shut us down. They would ruin our business. People are afraid. They've seen how their government operates. You're the one asking. My friend who cuts hair, who's open today, by the way, the haircutters can open today. I think you're allowed to cut hair, but you have to stand like 8 feet away and reach way over it and snip the hair. Those people, the guy was serious about opening up, going rogue, but he knew they would ruin him. They knew they would take his license away. Would you do that? If that's your livelihood, that business is what you depend on, you would throw it all away just to make a statement? Maybe
I might change it now simply because the Karen Pulido party is a game changer, Jerry. I would assume if the mainstream media picks up this story, as they should, and they put it out there, and you own a business, why the hell would that change your opinion? It would definitely change mine. Like, if, I would just say, if the governor parties, why can't I have my business open?
But you've seen what hypocrites these people are. You've seen it for your own eyes. I mean, the Governor Northam,
Coonman
clown. Governor Coonman with the blackface. He didn't wear a mask because he was on the beach. He wasn't social distancing. He wasn't wearing a mask, and he was threatening to shut down businesses that open up.
People selfies on the boardwalk, like hanging out.
And you know, you have the mayor of Chicago who said you can't go to get your haircut, and then the next day they caught her at a salon getting her hair cut. She said she had to do it because she's the face of the city. I mean, they're all hypocrites. We know that now. Whitmer, biggest hypocrite of them all, but it doesn't matter. There's still rules in place. They're still going to ruin you. Does the Fenway golf guy opened up his driving range. I don't know how much he made, but he gets fined instantly. And he knows if he does it again, the fines will go up. There'll be more trouble with the state. You think they might shut him down, find some violation of some health code that gives them an excuse to shut him down?
There's a driving range literally two towns over in Monson that's open for business. People are hitting golf balls there. So it's really up to the individual boards of health in these towns about how they want to interpret it. That's all it comes down to, is like, how much of a douchebag is your local health agent? How much of a tyrant are they? What are the police like? Do you live in Chicopee? Then you're fucked. You know,
you had that great photo of the guy giving the ticket to the gym owner who's jacked, and he's getting the citation from this blob. He's got three chins, and he's the health inspector. I had those photos of the health inspector in Philadelphia, that the murderer, Levine, Rich, I think it used to be Rich and now it's Rachel. That scary person who took her mother out of the nursing home before, putting coronavirus patients in the nursing home and murdering thousands, just like Cuomo. Then you got that ghoul in LA. Did you see this health inspector out there? Oh man, she looks like Imus. If I'm, you know, Imus, like now that he's dead, that's what she looks like. She has
swine flu. I mean, get
the doctor. The health inspectors are the most unhealthy looking people. Maybe you can find a photo of one of them, Dave, for our viewing audience, since we're not only live on Facebook, Turtle Boy, we're live on Twitter, on my Twitter feed. We got thousands watching us now.
220
I convinced Jerry to give me his Twitter password, his personal Twitter password.
Scary. I know.
And I've used it. I've used it three times this weekend. He didn't even know we were streaming on Saturday morning. I rebroadcasted some interview we did. I don't even know. So whatever. I got total control of Jerry's Twitter.
I know it's not going to end well with you and me because it never ends well with you in this business. And I have a feeling that the day we go our separate ways, I'm going to see tweets from my account with
sure.
I don't know. Naked, men, or maybe swastikas or something. The day that we go our separate ways. So just in advance, I was hacked. Okay, I was hacked. It wasn't me.
Yeah.
Any stupid tweets? Stupid tweets from my account they came from Dave.
Yeah, we're on Facebook as well. Let me go back to what you guys were just talking about because you two agree on this. And Jerry, you're not on Facebook, so you don't see this shit. Is when that guy gets handed his cease and desist letter for opening up his gym, you and I look at it and we say, that's fucking insane. Like that, the world has gone crazy. If you're on Facebook, it's literally a 50-50 split. If you look at the comments, even just look at the reaction to Turtle Boy's story with Karen Pulido. I mean, he's getting shit left and right when she's clearly throwing a party at her home and these are the governor's guidelines that she's announcing on television to the entire state. The people are just insane, and it's probably not even a 50-50 split. I think it's probably more 75% of people that guy should be shut down right now.
Yeah, it depends where you are. I would say it's more, 70-30 in Boston, but right out in Western Mass. And what about, again, the Lake of the Ozarks? Do you think those people are...
You should have seen Don Lemon last night. I actually watched CNN. I don't know why. It was just...
You watched Don Lemon?
Oh, it was terrible. I mean, he was... It was also eye-opening and hilarious, too. He's just showing all these things, and he's petrified. Like, he's like, look at all these people. Will there be an outbreak? We'll have a doctor back after the break to talk about whether or not there will be an outbreak. And spoiler alert, the doctor said yes, just like the protest you went through 3.5 weeks ago in Boston was supposed to cause an outbreak. But I must have missed that outbreak, Jerry. You guys were all breathing on each other and crap.
I know. I mean, I've been saying this for months now, and now I'm going to, scream it louder because we have a lot of evidence. We have data. We have Georgia, we have Florida. We see what happens in these red states when they've opened up. I mean, they've been going to restaurants in Georgia for a month. They've been getting their hair cut for a month in Georgia, and there's no spike. I mean, I just tweeted out that the numbers of the blue states versus the red states, it's remarkable. I can get you the Georgia numbers now. We know about New York. New York's up to 29,000 dead. Massachusetts, 6,400. Georgia, 1,800. 1,800 in the whole state.
Because they opened up literally over a month ago. Over a month ago, Jerry.
Florida, 2,200. Again, Cuomo kills that many people before breakfast. It is remarkable what a terrible job he's done. I think, again, you and I agree. But our daily killer Cuomo update, you want to see the great divide in this country, and you want to see the great corruption in the mainstream media. Watch the coverage, the reaction of Cuomo. We know what he did. We know he put coronavirus positive patients in nursing homes. He forced them in nursing homes. The result is black and white. Thousands died. Thousands. It's the most criminal act I've ever seen from a politician. Think of what he did. Think of what the misery he caused. And there's some people, if you look in the right places, you'll find some children or grandchildren of the dead. This weather woman, Janice Dean on Fox, her in-laws were both killed by Cuomo, and she's kind of been on a crusade in a low-key way, kind of not screaming, but explaining to people what he did. And you'll watch, like you did, watch CNN. They'll tell you Cuomo's doing a great job, even as the numbers tell you just the opposite. And they'll tell you DeSantis in Florida is a fool. And he's done everything right. He had the high, I believe the number he gave was 4,000 nursing homes in the state or assisted living places, 4,000. And the number of dead in them is like 1,000. It's amazing what he's done in Florida. It's done in New York.
The media just loves the negative spin on it. That's all they really enjoy. I feel like you know, making people believe this is never ending. And, you know, I saw a comment during the live stream, won't say any names, our resident liberal from across the pond. And she said, I heard that numbers are increasing in Florida. And so this is the new narrative they're going to go with, is that, well, even though you look at the data and it's rapidly declining in all these states, well, in Florida, they are getting more cases. They're also testing more. And even though it might be slightly more, it doesn't matter. That's the cost of being free. I mean, then they still have a fraction of our casualties. So who cares?
And I got it. I mean, you get the numbers right in front of me. 2,252 in Florida. Massachusetts, which is one. I think Florida's over 20 million. Massachusetts is 6.9 million people. 6,400 dead. It is at some point. You have to look at your leaders. Our leaders are incompetent. I mean, you've chronicled the carnage at the Soldiers' Home in Holyoke, and they've done the same thing in Massachusetts, New Jersey, New York. They've put positive patients in nursing homes. And you know what's remarkable? And you don't hear much about this again, because Cuomo, the media still loves him for whatever reason. I mean, we know he's a good liberal, but at some point you have to say, this is insane what he's done. But, he had a ship in the harbor that was built for like 2,000 people. He had a temporary hospital built in the Javits Center, built for thousands of people. He could have sent the patients there. He didn't. He chose not to. He did that in Florida, in Georgia, and Texas. They did the opposite. Their numbers are unbelievable right now. And, this was a couple of days ago. This was the 19th. This was 1 week ago. This is incredible. Republican states, population 103 million. Total deaths, 9,100. Democrat states, population 104 million. Total deaths, 70,000. That's
not good. Not good. I mean, Jerry, just think about the media malpractice in this whole thing and what they've done to people psychologically, because I thought after a while, like, some people just, you know, they're lazy. They don't. No. People really, truly believe this. They have convinced the American public that when they wake up every day, there is this airborne virus out there that is out to get them. They're just ready to pounce them. Imagine what it's like to live in that sort of fear. I mean, because we don't. We live in reality. We look at the data. We look at the numbers and we're like, you know, there's really not that much to fear here for us. But other people aren't as fortunate as being as smart as us. Right. And so they have to wake up every day, and the media is literally abusing them, and it's painful to watch.
And I saw a couple of people I know, they're about 30 years old, married couple, and they're walking outdoors, like on a trail, and their masks on. I said, why do you have, you gotta be careful. Yeah. You gotta be safe. And I'm thinking, you are in no danger, A, of even getting it. But if you get it, it's no danger of dying from it. I mean, and they weren't like going to visit their grandparents or anything. So I'm thinking, what is the point? What are you doing? And, you know, they're just told to do something and they do it. And they think, I'll, you know, put it on the thing and I'll be safe. Safe from what? You're right. It's just dumb. It's just ill-informed and ignorant. And it's not dumb people. It's just people that don't want to know the truth. They just, let me put a mask on and leave me alone. It's kind of scary. Today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Flagship Wealth. We're living in crazy economic times, job changes, job losses. You may have a 401k out there that's not being actively managed. Well, Flagship Wealth has a free report called Managing Your Money in Retirement. Dave, give our listeners some idea about what's inside the guide.
Jerry, in these crazy economic times, it's important to take control of your retirement. Now, is this booklet the end-all be-all for retirement planning? The answer is no, but it's a start. And I think one of the major pieces in this piece, if you will, is concerning your inventory. And a number of your listeners out there right now have left their 401ks, their 403bs at former employers and have no idea how they're invested, if they're in cash, if they're ultra aggressive, who the beneficiaries are. More importantly, can they get access to it that they could within an IRA account? So again, the bottom line is they get their hands on the book, take control of your retirement now. Now is not the market to let things go unguided.
Get the free report by going to flagshipwealth.com/retirement or click the link in our show notes. That's flagshipwealth.com/retirement to learn more and get a copy of the free guide, Manage Your Money in Retirement. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA/SIPC. Back to the nursing homes, because again, this is a nursing home problem. I don't know if you follow. In fact, I know you follow Jordan Schachtel.
I'm following him right now. Actually, he's the best.
He's great at this. Alex Berenson is great. If you follow the right people, you know
Jesse Kelly, Clay Travis, Jesse
Kelly, Turtle Boy. Actually, have you been banned already? Because
knock on wood.
You've been on Twitter like 2 weeks and you haven't been banned.
Two and a half weeks.
Is that a new record?
Not going to talk about it, Jerry. I'm not talking about it.
As Jordan Schachtel, by the way, says the virus is over. He says they're not even funding vaccine research anymore because they don't think we'll need it. They don't think we'll need a vaccine. He says
it is refreshing, Jerry, and therapeutic to go to his Twitter feed and feeds like that, and just it brings you back to reality. And right. You're like, okay, it's not that bad. You know what I mean? And it's like, and unlike the rest of the hysteria mob, he brings data every single time to his tweets. You know, he backs it up, and it's just the confidence. I love it. I love the confidence.
Exactly. It's a nursing home problem. Clearly the mistake in New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, we didn't take care of our nursing homes. They did in Florida, in Georgia, and Texas, and other red states. But anyway, Michigan is just like New York and New Jersey. They've put patients in, killed people. Governor Whitmer has killed people, just like Cuomo has killed people with his incompetence. But you said it after I was tweeting about it the other night, and you said you called it the most disturbing video you've ever seen. Now I know you've seen some pretty disturbing videos, which you tweet those out for a living. This is the most disturbing thing I've ever seen.
Yes.
People might not want to see it again. That's fine. But I think enough people saw it and were outraged and sickened. That's 20-year-old Jaden Hayden. And maybe his excuse is his parents named him Jaden Hayden, and he's never been right since. But he's 20 years old.
This is a plague we just need to talk about real quick. This plague of these ghetto Muppets who feel like they have to. My name's Aiden. Everybody who ends up on Turtle Boy names their kid something that rhymes with Aiden. Jaden, Caden, Ninja Gaiden. Enough. Anyway,
he's 20 years old, and you saw it, and his father came out and apologized, said he's always had mental problems and all this. That the video is disturbing, no question. This 75-year-old Army veteran just taking a beating, and it goes on and on for minutes, just pounding him. He's bloody. He's he can't fight back. He's just so vulnerable. It's sickening. But you have a couple of questions. Why didn't the nursing home see this? Why didn't they know this? The guy is beaten to a pulp. Did they think he, slipped while playing Mahjong? What do they think happened to the guy? And B, what's this 20-year-old punk, this thug, this maggot, this monster doing in the same room? If you haven't followed the story, here's the most disturbing part. They were roommates. He was put in that room and he has the virus. Yeah. This is what you're dealing with when you're talking about Governor Whitmer or Cuomo or, you name it, Murphy in New Jersey, Baker, Massachusetts. They don't care. They don't care about these old folks. They don't care about these veterans. They put coronavirus patients in the same room with this guy. Now, he was arrested after the video came out. By the way, he took the video, correct? We believe it was him. Like there wasn't an accomplice who was videoing.
I did not know that.
I believe he took his own video, but we'll probably find out something else. But he was arrested. It took him like 3 days to give his name, but we got his name. And the real scandal is he was put in that room. I mean, first of all, what's he even doing in the nursing home? There?
Especially after all we've seen in Pennsylvania and in New York, with literally the story is that they're putting infected people in nursing homes, causing the spread. You would think that now would be the time to maybe stop doing that. But apparently Governor Karen out in Michigan doesn't want this problem to go away because she's drunk on power and she's doing her part to help Joe Biden get elected. And maybe she'll get the VP nod.
She might be the worst. Our governor is.
That's why you said
Cuomo. Cuomo's got the numbers on his side. He's wiped out whole nursing homes. But this woman, when you see or hear from her, doesn't she look like some movie, some corrupt politician in a movie who's just got this power and she's going to make up rules as she goes along? I mean, she's the one who's got rules where you can't go to someone else's house. Like if it's You can't go in another person's house. That's a crime. You can't go in your own house if it's a second home. If it's like a vacation home or a lake house, you can't go in another house. Only you have to stay in your own house. She's got all kinds of crazy rules. If you look at the nutty coronavirus restrictions, half of them are her. And you're right. Her goal is the same as, you know, most of the people on the left, the same as CNN and the Globe and New York Times. Their goal is to hurt Trump, help Biden. That's all. I mean, they don't care if it puts, you know, every driving range and, you know, every restaurant out of business. They don't care as long as it hurts Trump, helps Biden. She thinks she still has a shot at the VP. Do you believe that? Because I don't.
Of course she does. Why wouldn't she, Jerry?
Because she's become this face of out of control authoritarianism.
That's because you follow the Daily Caller, Jerry, and you follow Breitbart. That's not what they're saying about her on NBC. She is a hero of the left right now. She's one of the most popular governors in the country. The ones that are popular right now are DeSantis and Kemp. That shows you that the insanity that we're living in right now.
So after the Jaden Hayden assault on that poor guy, she's still.
Who's covered that?
I don't know. You were watching CNN over the weekend. I wasn't.
I didn't see it on CNN. I mean, I haven't seen the round-the-clock coverage that Trump gets if he freaking spells a word wrong on Twitter. You know, but I have seen, like, I've yet to see this being mentioned anywhere. This should, once again, be headline stories. Another Democratic governor puts another infected COVID patient in with a nursing home. And, oh, yeah, he kicked the shit out of him. And there was a bunch of videos on YouTube of him being extremely racist. And he's also a psychopath. And but that just doesn't get mentioned.
My idea was Trump, to bring it to the attention of everybody, should be calling. Maybe he has dementia. Maybe he can't call him. But the 75-year-old guy who takes a beating. Yeah, and you know what? We don't even see the whole beating. He like flips him over and continues to pound him. And you can see blood. That guy. What if Trump called him? What if he, I was going to say, maybe he can't invite him to the White House. But what if he just got on the phone with him and said, "How you doing, bud?"
Yeah, do a little Zoom call.
A little Zoom call.
Because Trump is too busy. He's out of control, Jerry. He needs
to golf.
He's lost his freaking mind, has he not? What is he doing? He's talking about Joe Scarborough killing people 24/7. What the hell is
that? I wish I could disagree with the Eternal Boy. This is the problem. Lots of people want to have you on, you know, all your people want you on every day with me. Is we agree too much. It's, you know, I don't like it. We agree too much. Trump sucks. Can I just say flat out, Trump sucks on Twitter?
There isn't a single person in America, not a single Trump supporter. It's like, you know what? I'm not a fan of his domestic policies, but I do like his tweets. So I'm going to vote for him. It's a liability.
You know, there are people, lots of them, some of my best friends. In fact, every time I criticize Trump, this one friend of mine gets mad at me and he'll be texting me after he listens to the podcast saying, what's wrong with you? I thought you supported Trump. I like what Trump does. I don't always like what he says. And I rarely, when I read his tweets, you know what I do? I cringe before I read it. I just see it and I go, here we go. And I hope he makes it through, you know, 280 characters without going off the rails. But literally during the, you know, Memorial Day weekend, during the pandemic, he's tweeting about the intern that died in Joe Scarborough's office.
He won't stop it. He's tweeting about it all the time. All the time.
How do you have 80 million followers on Twitter and your tweets like that mean they really mean nothing? Like, I get that you both hate it, but it has zero impact. What's it do? What does it do?
Zero impact. He got elected because of Twitter, Dave. Are you kidding me?
No, but I'm saying, like, right now, Mika's going to complain that he's throwing out these conspiracy theories about Joe Scarborough all weekend, but nobody's really talking about it. Nobody's doing
it. He doesn't look. He looks unhinged. He looks unhinged on Twitter, and you say, and then you contrast it. He looks great at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, or you know, when he's hosting or he's going to other Memorial Day events, Memorial Day services. He looks dignified and presidential. And then you read this nutty stuff. By the way, speaking of nutty stuff, did my girl Ann take a blowtorch to Trump over the weekend?
You're with Jeff Sessions, not Tommy Tuberville?
I am with Jeff Sessions, not Tommy Tuberville. And Ann Coulter's convinced me that the media, the New York Times, is going to wait. If Tuberville were to win the nomination, they will destroy him. That he has stuff in his closet. Sessions already been vetted, but Trump was attacking Sessions and Coulter was attacking Trump like I've never seen before. I don't think. Tell me this: you're an expert on, you know, doing these kind of things, personal attacks.
Yes.
Can you walk back from calling someone a actual retard? Can you walk that back?
Trump called him an actual retard?
Ann Coulter called Trump an actual retard.
She's still going to vote for him.
And she reeled off like 10 or 12 tweets, just calling him. She called him a blithering idiot, just destroyed him. And everybody who follows her was thinking, man, she must have been drunk. It was Saturday night into Sunday. And she stays up. I think she stays up all night anyway. She's very late. And the next morning, it was like 10 a.m. She picked it up again. Didn't hold back. Didn't walk back anything. She called him an actual retard. The president. And by the way, I don't think he would have got elected without her. She was his biggest, you know, who his two biggest proponents were? Ann Coulter and Jeff Sessions. Those were his two biggest supporters in the election season. He's turned on both of them, and at least Ann has turned on him. I think Sessions is going to win whether Trump wants him to or not, because they don't want to see, you know,
It's like, as long as Doug Jones loses, that's all that matters. Just get Doug Jones out of there
because of Trump.
Yeah, because they put up a freaking child molester. Like, of all the guys, you couldn't find one guy that didn't molest kids. You couldn't find one.
It is amazing. And every time you think, is Trump, you know, is there going to be that day where Trump just goes off the rails, like, you know, with the Joe Scarborough intern or something, and people say enough, and then you think, well, you know what enough means? If you're, you know, independent, or if you're, you know, a conservative Democrat, although there aren't many of those, enough with Trump means sleepy, creepy Joe Biden. And he had a worse time with, you know, on social media than Trump did over the weekend. When you think about that, is your alternative to Donald Trump, a 78-year-old man in the throes of dementia, who doesn't know where he is half the time, who he's talking to.
He can't complete a sentence. He can't.
And he goes on with Charlemagne the God, who is, by all accounts, a great interviewer. He finds a way to get these people to step in it. And he said something that is disqualifying for some people. It is disqualifying. Literally, they pull you aside and say, we're going to find another candidate.
But I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
One of the greatest lines of all time, Jerry. One of the funny, I couldn't stop laughing. I woke up and read that. I'm like, this can't be real. He really said that. This is freaking, I love 2020. And that's ultimately what Trump's running against. It's a beautiful thing.
God. And then you have people who were forced to defend it in some form, some way, like Jamel Hill. They had to defend it.
From the New York Times too.
Right. That fraud that won the Pulitzer had to defend this. If you support Trump, you ain't black. You ain't black. I mean, is he literally trying to, is he trying to do the Hillary Clinton?
Oh, yeah.
No way he's tired.
No way he's tired. That's exactly what he's trying to do. Well, you know, in 2012, it was Mitt Romney's going to put y'all back in chains.
Oh, that's right.
Want to bust out the y'all and ain't. Whenever they get around, you know, around a group full of African American people, they condescendingly like to do that. And I mean, AOC did it. She did a speech to the to a black group, and they don't even notice it. It's like, but you know what? It works, Jerry. The amount they get, the loyalty that black people have overall to the Democratic Party. I mean, find a woman that loyal to you. You can, like, there's nothing, you don't have to do anything for them.
They've done
50 years, and they just keep getting elected by them.
Trump needs, I think, 20% of the black vote, which would be remarkable. It's more than Mitt Romney or John McCain.
The black vote.
If he can get 20%, he wins. Yeah. They know it.
But he can't.
I think Biden keeps this up. I mean, you think Biden's going to choose Stacey Abrams?
Biden is a god in the black community, Jerry. You know that. Like, he's more popular than Hillary was. He won the primary because of the black vote.
Right. Well, you know, the black vote, black people didn't want to support Buttigieg. They hated Buttigieg.
We can't talk about why.
No, we're not allowed to talk about why, but they did not like Buttigieg. I mean, if you're a Democrat right now, what would you give to have Buttigieg or Klobuchar or even Warren at the top of the ticket?
Anybody like, you know, 50 to 60 years old that has a functional brain, right? Doesn't fall over themselves constantly. That's all you got to do. They have nobody.
Not now they don't. I mean, we'll see who he picks as a VP. It has to be a woman. You're not allowed to have a penis and be a VP anymore. Those days are over. But this gaffe was huge. This gaffe was, I don't want to say game changer, because people already thought Biden was a blithering idiot, to use Ann Coulter's term. And they just thought this was more of the same. Did you see him yesterday? He has a black mask on. Went out in public for the first time in, 3 months. Black mask and aviator shades. And he just looked like, an idiot.
And there was no reason for him to wear a mask. They didn't come in contact with anybody else, like within 15 feet. They just laid the wreath and went back in the car, and that was it. It was a symbol for white people, man. That's all this mask thing has turned into. It's just a way for white suburban people to virtue signal about, oh, look at me, I'm doing my part, I care, I'm saving lives. And then they change their Facebook filter to like hashtag stay the fuck home, and they feel great about themselves. That's all this is.
And I understand why Trump's not going to do it. I mean, at least not in public. He does not want to give them the W. He does not want to look like he's given in and wearing the mask. We saw when the media wore their masks at the press conference, and as soon as the cameras went off, they took the masks off. They just did it for the show. And
Caitlin Collins.
Cameras off. She takes it off. She didn't really, think she needed it. But
he got mad too at the president because he tweeted about it. He tweeted a video of it out. She's like,
"That's right."
The president is taunting me for taking off my mask. Oh, shut up, you victim! I freaking hate these people, Jerry. I didn't know any of their names. That one thing Trump has done has made media members like kind of like superstars. I didn't know who the hell Jim Acosta was prior to 2016. Did you?
I did, but yeah, I know what you mean. I didn't know who Yamichi Alcindor was, Alexander.
You're right. As a former history teacher, Jerry, I am concerned about the way the history books are going to be written about this, because I don't trust the publishers. I think there's going to be a lot of spins on the Trump presidency.
Well, Bill Barr said. Attorney General said, yes. History is written by the winners. And then he chuckled, and then Chuck Todd cut off the tape. Yeah. Said, right there. That, ironically, tells you all you need to know.
History is not written by the winners. History is written by the publishers.
By the publishers, yes. Yeah. And it will be interesting. I go back and forth on this. Is when we get through this, 6 months, a year, 5 years from now, will it be better for the, the big government liberals, because we've seen, or is it better going to be better for, small government conservatives, because we've seen just the ineptitude, the corruption, just in New York alone, we've seen how bad government has performed, the governor and, his response team, we've seen how bad they have been. And yet, we've also seen people willingly, probably, and Cullinane thinks it's, 70-30, probably more than half the people have gone along willingly and blissfully just followed whatever rules that these tyrants have placed down, for them. So is this good? If you had to pick one, is it good for the big government liberal or the small government conservative?
Big government liberal. I mean, this is literally a paradise for them.
But it's not working. I mean, the economy.
You think they care? They control the media, Jerry. All that matters is the spin. The spin now is, did you see that it's gone slightly up in Florida? I mean, we have our commenter there. I mean, watched CNN or MSNBC, got told this is what's happening in Florida and Georgia. That's all that matters, Jerry. They don't actually look at the data. They don't analyze it. As long as they control the media, facts don't matter.
Here's a story in the Boston Globe yesterday. Yesterday. Memorial Day. We know the New York Times had on the day before Memorial Day, they said, why does the U.S. military support white supremacy? That was a headline of a story.
Yeah, normal thing to put on Memorial Day, yeah.
Here's the Boston Globe. Here's the headline of the story. Black and Latinx. Latinx. How do you say that? Latinx?
Latinx.
Latinx.
It's a non-gender.
Non-gender Latina or Latino. Black and Latinx activists say the state is reopening too soon. And they had a protest where they had signs, they got gloves and masks. And you know where the protest was? It was outside Davio's, a restaurant near the state house.
Davio, are they closed?
The group says they represent 50 organizations, including the local chapter of Latinx organization Migente and the Black Boston COVID Coalition. So on this, Memorial Day, they went and marched against reopening. Do you know how you know that it has nothing to do with, you know, the fear of people getting sick and dying? You know how you know? Because Antifa had a protest against reopening. Now, why would Antifa give a shit if people went back to work and got sick and died? You know,
I think Antifa's just mad because their outfits have become mainstream. literally, Karen stole Antifa's outfit. They dress like a freaking Antifa. They covers her face now, and it acts weird. And that's all you have to do to be an Antifa.
They said that it affects Black and Latinx people more than whites, which is why they don't want the government, the economy to open up. But what affects you more is a crash, unemployment. We know that. I mean, the rich 1%ers, they'll be fine. They'll be okay. The people who actually work for a living, and many of whom are Latinx or Black, they're the ones losing out here. It's insane. They don't care about them. They care about hurting Trump, helping Biden. Well, Jerry,
if you were making more on unemployment than you did working, would you want to go back to work?
No, God, no. Especially
we're living in right now. A lot of people are making more on unemployment.
Right. It's killing companies. I got friends who,
So the solution is when all these governors ask for more money, they keep asking for more money. Just tell them no. That's it. You fucked up your state. You completely screwed this up. I'm not bailing you out anymore. You don't get to just not have people work and not have an economy indefinitely. That's time's up. You want to do this?
Idea that the federal government would bail out someone like New York or California is madness. California is giving money to illegal aliens, and they want to take that money from taxpayers in Texas and Tennessee and Oklahoma and Florida. Take their money and give it to, if you want to give money to illegal aliens, feel free, but you can't take the money from people in red states and say, here, we're going to give it to our friends, the undocumented guest workers or whatever the hell they're calling them these days. But, anyway, it is getting crazier and crazier out there. I want to talk. You didn't watch. I'm kind of surprised you didn't watch the Brady thing just because it was Brady. I mean, if it wasn't golf, it was Brady.
If he was shooting horse, would you watch that, Jerry? I don't give a shit.
Yes,
about
I would.
What did
I
you
would.
Do? What else is there to do? What did you do, Terrell?
Go on Twitter and read Jordan Shackle tweets. That's more entertaining than watching Tom Brady split his pants.
It was not. Oh, that's true. He split his pants too. But I want to get to that. Let me talk about Shea Concrete first before we get to the utter humiliation of Thomas Edward Patrick Brady. Shea Concrete. All right, you homeowners, home builders out there. I've been telling you for a long time, my brother-in-law, Greg, has a huge selection of precast concrete steps. If you're thinking about that spring project, what you can do to improve your home, upgrade your home, maybe it's a new home and you're just building, you're looking at steps, stairs, concrete steps. This is the place. Shea has great values with designs for any home available in concrete, or you can customize with beautiful stone, granite, or brick. A new staircase can dramatically upgrade the front entrance of your home. In most cases, the guys at Shea can remove the old stairs and have you walking up your new front steps within hours. This is what you want to do because you know what? You got the time. They're there for you. They're not shut down. They can help you out. When you have those pictures this spring, those ceremonies, those graduations, those proms, you want to have new front steps to stand there on, and with your mask on. Of course. Learn more about Shea's precast concrete steps at SheaConcrete.com or go check them out. They got 4 locations around New England. Stop in, see the guys at Shea. They'll tell you all about the ways you can upgrade the front entrance of your home. That is SheaConcrete.com. All right, you know what? I'm gonna brag again that I said there was a chance that Tom Brady, I gave him credit. I gave him credit for accepting the invitation because there was a chance he would make millions and millions of Americans very happy. Viewers who tuned in hoping to see Brady humbled on a Sunday afternoon. It's not something you get to see very often. They got to see it 2 days ago. Brady calls himself an 8 handicap, and I'm just going to cut him a break because he doesn't play much. I assume he doesn't practice much. It looks like Peyton Manning is playing and practicing all the time. God knows Tiger and Phil are on another level. I didn't expect them to, choke. But Brady kind of wilted. I don't want to say choke.
This interests you? this interest, like he's what? Who cares if he loses? What is it? It's not a. It's just dude. He's having.
I'll explain to you what I'll say it again. Millions and millions of Americans tuned in hoping to see Brady choke. They got what they wanted. They got what they wanted.
That's not his profession, though. His profession is football. We had this idea that he was a great golfer, and I actually think there was a video going around when this was first announced of him and Michael Jordan winning some pro-am tournament or whatever. So I think I haven't seen him talk much about golf or seen pictures of him golfing.
Well, I talked to him about it many times, and I thought he was a 10 or 12 handicap. He calls himself an 8. He's not. He probably doesn't record a lot of scores. He has a good swing. He's obviously athletic. But wouldn't you say, Cullinane, as you're watching that, saying that he is just melting here on the front nine?
He was bad, but it was relatable. I mean, it was. I actually preferred it that way to see him be normal, like a regular golfer. I didn't think Peyton would be as good as Peyton was, to be honest with you. But I didn't think it didn't make me think less of Tom Brady.
I didn't say it made you feel less. He looked human. No, he looked human. That wasn't the guy you see in the clutch in football, in the clutch in golf.
Yep.
He kind of struggled.
Yeah.
And he had one great shot, and they made a match of it. Tiger and Brady made a match of it because Tiger was great, of course. His tee shots were right down the middle every time. They had that tracer thing, and you'd see Brady's shots just go whoom into the woods. You know, it was uncomfortable to watch. I think about the third hole, Brady was having second thoughts saying, why did I take this? Why did I accept this? I don't care what it raised for charity. It was humbling for a guy who most people probably thought he's good at everything, you know, and I thought he would be better at golf. I really did. I thought he'd look good under pressure.
Why did you think he'd be good at golf?
Because I just explained to you, he's an athlete. He's got a good swing and he's great under pressure in football. I thought that would translate to being. Yeah. Yeah, and I thought he'd be able to swing a club under pressure. He clearly, it got to him.
I'm going to take Peyton Manning's words for it words for all this after the event is the pressure of doing that, the television audience, everything. It got to both of them. It had to, because he just looked, when he was golfing Brady, he looked uncomfortable. He looked more comfortable talking. He's just a dork. Like, he can't tell a story for the life of him. He was trying to play up for the camera in a bunch of different moments, and he's just.
I was funny. He had one great shot. How long was the hole out? Like 140, yeah. 50?
Yeah.
So he holds out on a par five. It's his fourth shot. He birdied it because he holds out from the fairway. And it was right after Barkley was on the mic making fun of him, saying Brady's terribly because I want to play Brady. Barkley, who sucks at golf, saying I could beat Brady. So Brady holds out and starts saying, suck on that, Chuck, which was kind of funny. And then he knows he's mic'd up. He knows everyone's listening. He starts talking about how much he loves his wife and his parents. And
yeah, it's like, give me a few seconds here. I'm going to go on a rant. And it was just awkward. And then he was telling that story, which I think I've heard before, about Drew Bledsoe.
What is this? You go, oh, did you hear they were goofing around and they were being silly? Who cares? None of this matters. This isn't a competition.
It was a great event. It was a great sporting event. Maybe it's because there's no other sports, but I thought it was great. I thought it was very sports.
I mean, they could talk about college football. Will there be college football? Because, by the way, Michigan is threatening to shut down, and that kind of matters for the Big Ten.
Well, California's already shut down. Yeah. You know, like Alabama's
that
already.
That matters. That's sport that matters. Tom Brady.
That's not a sport. That didn't happen. That didn't happen. We get to watch a sporting event. I thought it was a great sporting event. And I thought, and I think, and it raised, what did it say, $20 million for charity?
Yep, $20 million.
It was funny watching them gamble. Guys were betting, if you hit the green, I'll give you $50,000. You know, it was for charity.
Highest rated cable golf match of all time. You know, and I think that's got to include, like, and I guess it's because it's the first and second rounds, right? Hasn't TNT and ESPN had the Masters in some form?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Well, why did you have like the numbers on it?
I saw it yesterday. I don't remember off the top of my head. Maybe it was
but it's going to spawn some other similar events, especially if, you know, sports is shut down for another, whatever, month, 2 months. Immediately people saying, who do you want to see in the next match? I mean, I think it has to be Michael Jordan because he's a big golfer and he's a degenerate and he's Michael Jordan and he gets ratings, but Steph Curry's like a great golfer and people want to see him and get some other celebrities from other sports involved. Brady will never do it again. Never. It was embarrassing.
I don't think it was as embarrassing as you're alluding to, because I think the back nine is what I remember is how they made it a match, and because they played it the right way, right? They were using Brady's drives, which was good. So that way, then he could putt and stuff like that. Right. So he didn't have to approach the green.
Do you agree with me that it was a great, like, entertaining event? Oh,
absolutely. I watched it top to bottom. It was insanely entertaining. I wasn't actually a Charles Barkley fan because I'm not an NBA guy. Charles Barkley's a funny bastard. He was good. Thomas was great.
When it was over, he had to bogey the par five or for what was that, 50 grand or something?
Yep.
And he almost did. I was surprised. He looks better. And people were saying that he should be in the next match. He can't be. He's not good enough. You can't have someone that bad playing with, you know, Tiger and Phil. That would be uncomfortable to watch.
I tweeted out during this, the only thing that would help is if they brought in celebrities as interviews and things like that. 30 seconds after I tweet that out, the first celebrity interview comes in, and it's A-Rod. It's like, of all people, can we cancel Alex Rodriguez, please? I hate that guy. He get rid of Alex Rodriguez. Stop subsidizing that guy's like venture capital firm by putting him on podcasts and putting him on television. He is the worst. Get rid of him.
Is he still on Barstool? Because I never heard Colin a badmouth a Barstool person before.
He does a court podcast with Big Cat, and I don't know. Big Cat's great. I don't listen to that podcast, but
by the way, speaking of Barstool, did you follow? Last time we talked, we were talking about Caller Daddy.
That's Colin's job. That's his beat.
I watched. I'm not gonna lie. I watched the entire Alex Cooper video. I watched the entire Sophia video, and then I watched. I'm enthralled with the drama. It is fantastic to watch.
What's the latest, Cullinane or Turtle Boy? I mean,
Sophia's the villain. She has turned into this ultimate villain. Alex told all. She talked about how she wanted the deal, basically. And this greedy, money-hungry woman who is being manipulated by this psychopath, Peter Nelson.
The suit man from HBO.
Creepiest guy. You think he looks weird. Have you heard him talk?
I saw him do that speech they tweeted out where he's got it's like a TED talk where he's doing a speech, a motivational speech.
He's not a real person. Like the Iliad. And she threw it all away for that. And I think that is fascinating. Much more.
She'll be back. You fall on your sword. She will be back. She could probably watch her own podcast and maybe it does well. Who knows? But, you know, she'll find a way to get back. Because over time, she's going to realize how dumb this guy was to manipulate her brain. Hopefully, he's still confident.
Sophia's never coming back. She's done. She can't ever come. Alex might come back. But
Alex is coming back.
I saw them tweeting out she's going to be back. Is she going to have a new partner?
No. No, it's just her. Just her.
Just her? Just talking about, you know, whatever, sex?
Yes. Who would be interested in this guy? I mean, what does he have? What you can get? I mean, you can, you're kind of famous.
Money.
You
have money.
You're
money. Power.
You can find a regular rich guy, can't you? This is the weirdest rich guy ever.
I mean, and you can't beat Portnoy at this game. You know, he's going to go public with whatever you say. I mean, he had yesterday's video was about Scooter Braun calling him to kind of be the middleman and, you know, brokered the peace.
I gotta watch that.
Portnoy immediately just goes on Twitter and tweets, wherever, Instagram, tweets out a video saying, you know, go screw. You know, you had your chance, you know, Scooter Braun. I don't care about Scooter Braun. So you can't beat Portnoy at this. And I think
epic prez.
I think there might be more support for both chicks if Portnoy didn't tell them how much money they were making, how much he was willing to give them. If that's all true, and I assume it is, then the customers are going to be 100% behind Portnoy and against.
They already are. They already are.
Right.
Yeah. They already are.
This is epic, Dave. By the way, this is when he's at his finest. When somebody like messes with him like this, I freaking love it. It brings me back to Barstool. I kind of outgrown Barstool because I'm not really into what Rihanna was wearing this weekend or any of that or whatever the hell they're blogging about. But when Dave Gaz is back up against the wall and somebody comes at his money like that, it's must see. You got to watch it.
And he's, you know, he brags about holding a grudge and, you know, about wanting his enemies to fail. So he'll never make up with the HBO guy. What's his name again? Nelson?
Peter Nelson.
Peter Nelson. That guy. He'll never make. And he'll just live for the day that Peter Nelson fails. I mean, that's his life. And you know, he put Call of Daddy at number one. He did. He sat in for them. What was that? A week ago.
Yeah.
And they went to number one, and he was bragging about that. Now she'll come back, and it'll be huge again. And she they just do that once a week. Dave, is that right?
I think it's one. Is it once or twice? It might be twice a week. I can't
once,
remember.
Once
a week for an hour. They talked about sex, and each of them made $500,000 plus.
The worst thing, it made me cringe watching that as a producer. If anyone else produces, they record for 3 hours and she edits it down to 1 hour. That is the most painful thing I can even think of.
There's constantly jumps in the videos, even like the videos in which they told all, there was cuts to it and stuff like that. It's like, are you kidding me?
Yep.
Lame. Live stream.
At least she came off way more transparent, way more just natural in her video. And I mean, I watched that Friday night? My wife and I on my phone watched a YouTube video from the host of Call Her Daddy for 33 minutes straight. That is insane.
Yeah. And are you sure she's got no partner? She's just going to do it alone? That doesn't seem right.
Like. Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Because you could find another chick. I mean, you just have to be hot.
Well, right? It would be like, I thought about that. It would be interesting because, you know, you to fill in and somebody have to try to replace a voice that people have become accustomed to, there's going to be animosity there. No matter who they put in there, the people are going to be like, I miss, you're trying to be like her. You're trying to do this. But eventually they would get used to it because how hard is it really to talk about blowjobs? I mean, all day. Is it once a week? Is it really that hard?
Yeah, you do it, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's really not that complicated. It's like you just, whatever. I mean, they're obviously coming from a different perspective from that. But
I can't believe it. I'm jealous. I'm jealous. Let's just say I was texting with another podcaster over the weekend. We were amazed. Joe Rogan signs for $100 million with Spotify. I mean, again, he's good. I listen to some of his podcasts when the guest I'm interested in, but he goes to number one over the weekend or late last week with a 3 hour, I think it was long, 3 hour conversation. Then most of them are 3 hours with a skateboarder. You know, he talks to Tony Hawk for 3 hours and it gets millions of downloads, which I want to understand this medium. I want to understand this industry. But that I don't get. How someone could sit there for 3 hours and listening to Joe Rogan talk to, you know, half the people he talks to. I say, I don't care about them. They're not interesting to me. And he's good. Again, he's good at what he does. He's a good comedian, too, by the way. He's smart. He's an influencer, man. He's got a lot of influence. But
he's a pioneer, by the way. And I think people like me will go down in history. Is like he's like the leader. He's like the godfather. Sure. Because the fact that he left this platform with YouTube was a statement. That you don't get to control my content. If you're going to try to demonetize me, if you're going to try to limit my spread because I have Gavin McInnes on or somebody who's too controversial for you.
Alex Jones.
So now he's in charge as opposed to previously before. The tech companies ultimately controlled you. And Joe Rogan said, no. I control me. I am valuable. I'm going to go to Spotify. Go F yourself. And I think that's awesome.
But you know what? He's not political, but if he says something, anything political, I mean, it goes viral. Like he said that Biden, you know, is inept and he can never beat Trump. And that went viral. And if he says, you know, when he said about Bernie, how he sort of endorsed Bernie, there was nothing to it. It wasn't really in depth. It wasn't really.
He's not like well thought out.
He just said, I like Bernie. He's a good guy.
No, cool. You know, I like Bernie. He's not uptight. Biden, crazy. You know what I mean? But Bernie, yeah. I like him. I kind of like him. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not like a great thinker or anything like that.
No, he's not. I mean, he's a good interviewer. I mean, he says he does it with no notes. He sits down there for 3 hours and talks to a skateboarder with no notes. But that was one story. 100 million for Joe Rogan. On the heels of $200 million for The Ringer and Bill Simmons, and you know, Bill Simmons turns around with that money and hires Jemele Hill to do a podcast about The Wire. That escapes me. Like someone's going to sit down and listen to Jemele Hill talk about a show that's been it was a great show, but it's been gone for how long?
That's kind of bad on ESPN. Now that she's off the leash, she's unbearable. She's the worst person on social media.
She's not a good writer. She works for Atlantic Magazine. If you read her, you know, she probably makes good money there to write once a month, if that. And you read it, you go, that's it. She's not a good writer. She's not good on TV, as we learned. ESPN show flamed out. And Simmons brings her in to do a podcast. And I'm, again, I can't question the guy. He just sold his business for $200 million to Spotify. Yeah.
How much do you think he pays her? $3-4 million more?
I don't know. Don't even say that. But no, the craziest one, and I didn't talk to Colin about it, but Larry King's going to do a podcast now.
Yeah.
He got a big deal. I know the story said he's going to make $5 million to do an interview, a Rogan style podcast.
Yep.
Now I know the number's not real. He's not really getting 5 million, but if he's getting 500,000, if he's getting 200,000, I'm thinking Larry King is, let me check again. I think he's 87, 88. And he's going to do a podcast interviewing who? Like same thing, like skateboarders?
I read that article. Who were the names that they were tossing around that he was already talking to? There was a couple celebrities that were, Mariah Carey might be his first guest. Mariah Carey might be his first guest.
86. He's 86. He says he's 86. Be 87 in November. It says he's 5'9". I always thought he was like, I'm looking at his Wikipedia. I always thought Larry King was like 5'2", 5'9". Who's going to listen to Larry King interview whoever, Mariah Carey? Is that really going to be a smash hit?
It's actually good for the industry because if there is an older demographic that wants to listen to Larry King interview people that isn't a part of the podcasting listenership, you know, that's out there right now, it's going to grow the industry. So if he does well, that's a good thing for the industry. That'd be nice. I don't know if the speed of which to get the older demographic into podcasts is going to be there.
Here's the story. It's in Variety, and you tell me. It says King is guaranteed $5 million under a multi-year contract with 444, produced by Beecher and Chance King. It's called The Millionth Question. It's going to have an 11-episode run. What? 11 episodes of Q&A's. King's wish list of interview subjects includes Michael Jordan and Donald Trump. I mean, yeah, so does mine.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I'm going to interview the Easter Bunny. Right when we're done.
I mean, I guess, you know, again, that says this report says he was guaranteed $5 million. I don't believe it. You don't believe it. No one believes that. But whatever he's guaranteed, Larry King at this point in his life, that's going to be worse than watching Biden try to do a Zoom chat.
I don't know anybody my age, Eric, that listens, has any enthusiasm for Larry King or like even listened. I don't even know what his show is about. I was too young. I mean, I was a kid. I have no interest whatsoever. If they're trying to get old people to listen to podcasts, I got news for you. It's not going to happen because it's too complicated. Like, good luck trying to get my mother to figure out how a podcast works.
Yes, I know.
You got to buy the cord for the car. And, you know, you got to plug it into the auxiliary. And then, you got to get rid of the flip phone. That's step one. It's just, you know, it's not going to happen.
Before Cuomo's done here, he's going to wipe out, Larry King's entire demographic. Listen to this. This is, again, from the Variety story. It says, King is teaming up to launch the podcast with Chance King, his 21-year-old son with his seventh wife, Sean. I believe he married a couple of them twice. So he's had like 9 marriages. And I thought his marriage was on the rocks with Sean, but she's his 7th wife and his son is 21 and he's 86. And his son's going to be on. This says he's going to be on the podcast. It's going to be like listening to
Tony. Got to keep it young somehow. Got to keep it fresh. Got to get a young kid in there.
Chance Young is going to keep him young. But
yes.
I don't know. Again, it's probably all made up. It's probably not going to happen. I assumed when Larry King went away, because he's kind of been out of the spotlight, I assumed he was not well, because Larry is the biggest egomaniac. He had to be.
I don't think Larry has gone away. Doesn't he have some deal with like some Russian television station that's paying him crazy money?
I have not seen him. I assumed it was one of those deals where he was not really with it anymore, kind of like Joe Biden. So at the same time, we're going to have Larry King doing a podcast and Biden running for president. And it's going to be just one. You know, it's going to be uncomfortable. And this is, again, his family members pushing him to do this. This is his son pushing him to do it. Maybe he's not well. Maybe it's going to be like Biden's wife dragging him in front of the cameras, Dr. Jill forcing him to run. It's going to be like Glenn Campbell. When Glenn Campbell was in his final months, he was completely in the throes of dementia. He had dementia. He didn't even know his bandmates anymore, didn't know anything. And his family, I believe his wife, maybe his kids, kind of forced him or, you know, pushed him up on stage. He could still sing and play his guitar, but he didn't, he still knew the words to his song, but he didn't know anything else. So Glen Campbell was completely compromised and suffering from dementia. But his family said, you know, let's get him out there and keep the gravy train running. Maybe that's the way it is for Larry King.
Hey, I'll give it a listen to the first shot. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe he'll do better than we think. Who knows?
Maybe he'll get, you know, Trump, and Trump will talk about Joe Scarborough killing interns.
So he tweeted out again at 5:53 this morning, Jerry. He tweeted out that they're opening a cold case into Joe Scarborough. He then deleted it.
What
is wrong with him? By the way, the family of the dead woman now has issued a release today begging him to stop talking about it. What the hell is he doing?
5:53. It is, you know, there's one thing that it shows or proves is that he is tweeting himself. It's not like,
yes,
you know, someone's not telling him what to tweet. Someone's not controlling his social media. He does it himself. And it's a problem. As I've said, other people have said, you know, Ivanka, take the phone away. You know, let him have his, you know, whatever, an hour a day with the phone. But 5:53, what do you bet he was, you know, on the toilet?
It's like they're not, the liberal media, Jerry, is not completely wrong when they suggest that he might not be well. Like, it's like he's better than Joe Biden because he's, right, he can't even put a sentence together. However, I don't think it's that out of like to say that this is not normal behavior. This is
right,
kind of insane. Well,
it's not behavior. It's tweets. I mean, it's tweets. If he didn't tweet, you don't generally, he's not doing 3-hour press conferences every day anymore, but he does the right things. I mean, you saw him at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. That was nice. He does the right things. He goes to whatever, the Virginia, to salute the ship that's heading to New York, the medical ship, the Comfort. He does things that are smart and look good and have good optics, has good optics. And I think the people around him are generally smart. And you see the tweets when they tweeted out the highlights of the day of Memorial Day. His campaign tweeted out a great montage of things he's done and people who support him. Yeah. And they sure took advantage of Biden's gaffe over the weekend. Yeah.
Great.
They had this great video of all the black supporters of Trump. It was spectacular. And then 5 minutes later, in all capital letters, it'll be, you know, wow, make the transition great again or liberate Michigan.
Like, if I were him, I would just talk about Andrew Cuomo killing old people constantly. Or, you know, it's like, and that's all I'm talking about. Who cares about Joe Scarborough? Joe Scarborough's not running for anything. He's on MSNBC, which your people don't watch anyway. So who cares?
That's a good point. Like, who's watching Joe Scarborough? Half the people support you don't even know who he is.
Yeah.
But if you're following Trump on Twitter, I'm sure you're cringing right along with Turtle Boy and me. And if you want to cringe for him, read Ann Coulter's Twitter feed over the weekend, because she doesn't leave a speck of meat on Donald J. Trump's bones. That's one of, you know what? You know who his biggest supporters were during the campaign? Mika, Joe, Sessions, yep, and Coulter. Those were his four biggest supporters, and he wouldn't be president without them. And they have turned on each other. Like,
they went to dinner. She's trying hard to get it. She spent like a full day trying to get Trump banned from Twitter. And it's honestly really starting to push it, because, you know, as you know, I was banned. I'm back on. I'm a renegade now. Yeah. But, you know, for a year and a half there, I'm not allowed. And I never did what Trump did. I never, like, you know, said that somebody was a murderer that wasn't actually a murderer or anything like that. He's really starting to push the boundaries. And that's what it's going to be interesting to see, is if they ever crack down on him. Because if they do, he will freak out. That's when it's going to get really interesting.
Yeah, they know they can't.
This is his version of shit talk. It just is insane. Joe Scarborough goes on TV and just gives him shit about trying to take the hydroxychloroquine or whatever the hell it is. And his response back is to tweet conspiracy theories about Joe Scarborough murdering somebody.
Murdering an intern.
You got to get Trump to tweet about Karen Pulido. That should be the goal today. Is that's to get him to
switch. He won't, because she's got an R next to her name.
He doesn't know that. He thinks he even knows who the governor of Massachusetts is.
I don't know. It's he's a good not question. Loyal.
Trump hates disloyalty. And this
guy, he knows because Biden told him. It's Charlie Parker, governor of Massachusetts. Yeah. So he knows that. Right. But It is funny when you
tweet, right? Let's get him on it. Tweet that to Trump.
You want Trump to tweet about the party at Polito's?
Yes. That's the goal for the day. Or Trump Jr. That's just as good. Because once he does it, then Big Daddy does it too.
Well, that's what I was hoping. Trump Jr. would get Trump Sr. to call the guy in the nursing home in Michigan. And he still might. You know, he might be a few days behind. But wouldn't that be a great...
Yeah, he's too busy hanging out with Kirk Minahan.
Donald Jr.?
Oh, he was on there last week. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I know. He's... I don't know. We might... We're trying to get him, right, Dave?
Yeah. We for sure. We're actually talking to somebody at the campaign later in the week. So I bet dealing with Trump tweets is an issue for the campaign. We might want to ask that
get
guy.
Get Brad Pascal on here. That's the one you want.
I can't stand like bad grammar and like capital, you know, words that are capitalized that aren't supposed to be, and these run-on sentences. So that stuff annoys me anyway.
Yeah. You must be nuts reading my blogs then. I'm known for my grammar, Jerry.
By the way, is the Polito blog your most read story? It's got to be one of your most read stories.
Of the year it is, absolutely, yeah. There's a couple more that were bigger, but there was one.
How do you go about finding which media outlets stole from you without crediting you?
Well, the beauty of this one is it's going to be very hard to do that, Jerry, because there's the only evidence is that one photograph, which I own, and they'll have to get my permission to use it. So there's really no – I don't think they've written about it yet because I think they're digging right now. They're trying to get a comment or a quote from her about that. They'll probably ask at the Daily Pressing today. I would hope. If they do not ask about this at the Daily whatever today, then the media is useless, completely useless.
Well, they won't because you've seen Kayleigh McEnany, the great, great new spokesman at the White House. And what she did the other day, she did a slide presentation on things the media should ask about, the things that, you know, the whole Biden-Obama attempt to frame Flynn, to bring down Trump, to paint this picture of a great conspiracy with the Russians, all that stuff. And she went through slide by slide and said, this is what reporters should be asking. It was great. And they pissed off Democrats and liberals.
I mean, it's all now. Everything.
It doesn't matter. They won't do it, but it was just to make them look like frauds. And she just does a great job. But I look forward. I don't want Trump doing the daily press conferences anymore, ever. I love watching her, though. She is great. She is fun. But anyway, you can read Turtle Boy's very popular blog on Karen Polito and everything else because Turtle Boy's beat now is pandemic panic. And hypocrisy. And if you want to read about the latest Karens, you'll find them there too. The video. Did you have the video of the people chasing that woman out of the grocery store?
No, I haven't done anything on that yet. But I'd like Milano tweeted it out, and she said she's from Staten Island. She said, "Yes, good job. Like this is my people from Staten Island. Good job."
Yes, so. and you certainly had that story, which to me is the most disturbing. Not disturbing. The driving range and how they shut the guy down and find him because people were hitting golf balls in outdoors on a sunny, warm day.
An overzealous woman who goes to the same barber as me is out there and she's just on a power trip, whether it's a Smith College degree, and has no idea how any of this works. And you see, by the way, the one post she had on Facebook in which she supported the Red Hen for denying Sarah
Huckabee. Oh, that's right. Yes. She supported the restaurant that kicked Sarah Sanders out.
Support that business in Virginia for discrimination, but she won't support a business in her own town because social distancing.
What is? How much did they find the guy to the driving range?
Today, you know. But I mean, my guy Dave Blondin, former student of mine at the gym in Oxford, he's not paying the fines, and why should he? Don't pay it.
I know you could challenge it you know, forever because you're in the right, they're in the wrong, and nobody. I mean, I know you think that lots of people are supporting the lockdown, but are they really supporting like not being able to go to a driving range or go to the beach? I mean, I understand that they don't want, you know, whatever massage parlors to open up, but a driving range?
Sure, you underestimate the job the media has done on these people. They really believe when they go out in the fresh air, there is just a virus going around looking for them, a heat seeking virus. They believe that millions of people.
You and I, well, you know, we've been, you know, For 2 months, we've been saying this is nuts, and it gets nuttier every day. And I think down the road, these people are going to look back and feel silly. The people who are wearing their masks on the beach or while riding their bike, they're going to feel like idiots. But anyway, Turtle Boy at tbdailynews.com. Read those blogs. They're good. This is you're on a roll, Turtle Boy.
Keep on going.
Aiden, you're on the roll. Aiden, Jaden.
Yeah.
You don't have the video in the nursing home in Michigan, do you? Because that is just.
I plan on getting to that today, hopefully.
Oh, man. You've never seen anything more disturbing. And just as you see that, keep in mind that the governor put the 20-year-old in the nursing home with the poor old guy. So if he doesn't get the virus, he's going to get a beating. Or maybe he'll get both. But it is so disturbing. Hopefully, as we follow that case, that Jaden Hayden will do a hard time. Because, God damn it, he deserves it. But thanks, Turtle Boy, and thanks to Shea Concrete Allied Paving, and thanks to our friends at DCU. Good job, Cullinane. This is the Callahan Podcast. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Why am I stopping? No one else stops.
Can I go home?
The Jerry Callahan Podcast.